His presence is there. And we acknowledge His presence in our life. And we talk with His thoughts. We think His thoughts. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. Paul says we have to have the renewing of our minds. It speaks to us about a constant communion with the Lord simply because He's with us and we acknowledge His presence. Look, He's with you. Whether you acknowledge Him or not, He's with you.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, July 28th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Practicing His Presence. And our text comes to us from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Genesis chapter 15. When I read Genesis 15, actually Genesis, I find it's so filled with concepts and stories, and it's how theology is made. It's how our relationship with the Lord is. It's our story. So I'd like for us to look at Genesis 15 and the first few verses, and we'll have it up in the screen momentarily. He says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. By the way, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. So God shows up, and He often comes to us much more than we go to Him. So anyway, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Another version says your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Verse 5, he took him outside and said, look up the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offsprings be. And verse 6, and Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. May God bless the reading of His word. We're dealing with an aspect that we've been talking about for quite a while, and that is being in God's presence, being His disciples, following the Lord. In this chapter 15, there are very special, striking phrases that occur. For me, the important one is that Abraham was coming out of a battle, out of a tremendous experience. In those days, they fought. And though he won, at the same time, there was this downer in his life. And yet the Lord in His mercy speaks to him, comes to him. He comes to him in the midst of this victory he had, but He still comes to him. And the words to Abraham are very clear. Fear not. Again, we often forget the fact that the Lord comes to us first. If we love Him, it's because He first loved us. If there's anything good in our lives, it's because God took the initiative. We can only respond to Him. And the fear not because of the battle fatigue that he had, but there was something inside of him that was crushing him. And that was a promise that the Lord had made to him that somehow, some way, wasn't coming through. Been 10 years since God said, you're going to have a kid, and I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through your seed. Hagar gets involved, and the servant of Moses, and they bear a child, and it seems like that's how it's going to happen. But the Lord renews His commitment to Abraham, and He says, you know, I want you to know that my delays are not your denials. That though you may think it's taking too long, it's not that I'm saying no to you. I'm simply telling you there's a time in my timetable, and I will take care of you. When He says, I am your exceedingly great reward. It's so unbelievable to think that God would put himself in our lives and said, you got to look at me because I'm on your quarter. I'm on your side. And no matter what goes on in life and around you, I'm the one that's with you. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you. This presence of God in our lives needs to be acknowledged more often than not. We find that Abraham then believed. And all through the New Testament, we find that Abraham's belief was accounted to him as how he got saved. And this was before the circumcision. So, I mean, this is very, very important in the scheme of things, how belief in God, trusting God, believing his word, depending on him, even when you don't see it happening, is what this is all about. Trusting God's word in our lives. Abraham believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Through the scriptures, we find that we are in his grip, that we are in his hands. That when things don't go the way we want them to go, he's still there. That when we ask God for something and it doesn't come, he's still there. That God has a timetable that you and I need to understand is his timetable and not ours. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does he withhold from those who walk in blameless. There's something about God looking at your walk, looking at my walk, bestowing favor and honor when we don't even see it in our life. Psalms 119:114, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Your word is the one that shows me that I'm okay because you have made a decision to be my shield. Psalms 91:4-7. Who hasn't read that one? He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and a rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right hand, but it will not come near you. Amen. God's presence in our life, God's commitments to you, God's commitment to you and to me that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, when you and I do what we can to be in God's will and we live as much as we can serving him, there's something about the Lord that helps us to go through the issues even when we're confused. Have you ever been serving the Lord and you're still confused? You don't know how it's going to come out? And you go through issues in life and you wonder. And yet, in the midst of your wonder, God comes to you and says this, it is I, don't be afraid. That's what Jesus said to his disciple. It is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the boat shaking, the Lord was there. He says, it is me, don't be afraid. Take courage, he actually says. So this morning, what I'd like to endeavor is to speak to you about making God's presence real every day of your life, every moment of your life. Because the Lord, believe it or not, in spite of everything that's going on, he is your shield. He is the one who is now presently protecting you and helping you. He is the one who will become your great, exceeding great reward. Imagine, we think so many times of rewards, you know, what we get out of believing in the Lord. And there is such a thing as the culture of success. But that's not the culture that we look for. We look for the culture of the kingdom of God that leads us right back to the Sermon on the Mount, that you and I need not to be angry with people, that you and I should not be swearing by heaven on earth, but let our yes be yes and our no be no. It speaks to us ways of living that represents the kingdom of God in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all the things that you and I need will be added unto you. Amen. So there's a scripture that we will move on with Hebrews 13:5. And this is for you and for me. And this is the standard of our conduct, of our behaviors. This is what we need as 21st century Christians to deploy. It says in Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The love of money, not, doesn't say money, it says the love of money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money, except when you make money your God. So keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. So you should be happy and content. Because that's what really counts, is I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He is our exceeding great reward. So this morning I'm asking you to make a proposition in your heart, in your life, to train yourself to practice the presence of God. Now, maybe I'm preaching to the choir. You don't look like you're singing, but anyway. Maybe it's superfluous to say this. But it bears repeating that you and I need to be conscious of God's presence in our life. That Jesus is with us. And the fact that you and I may be facing issues that are not resolved does not mean that he's not working in your life. I have things in my heart before the Lord. And I've come to him often and said, Lord, when will you renew this in my life, or remove this in my life, or fix it? And you spend time in the presence of the Lord, and it seems like nothing is happening. Somebody said that God works like a glacier. Muy despacio. Very slow. But look what leaves behind. Beauty. Perfection. We need to just ask the Lord to help us to understand that he is with us every moment of the day. And that we can live a life with him, moment by moment, finding his presence to be all that we need. The Lord is with you. The Lord is not only with you, he's in you. And we need to acknowledge his presence in different ways in our lives. We have to do one thing for sure. We need to remove this false dichotomy, this false divide between that which is sacred and that which is secular. Because some people, and I'm sure that there may be some here, I doubt it, you're very smart and bright, but anyway, just for the sake of those who are not. I speak from my heart. We fall in a trap of assuming that some things are spiritual and others are not. That some things are sacred and others are secular. And sometimes the only time we think about God, or we think that that's how God comes into the picture, or that God is working in our lives, is when we're worshiping, when we're coming to church, when we're praying, or we're spending some time with him, focusing on him. But I want you to know that God is with you 24/7. Amen. The practice of God, the presence of God in everything. God is with us in all the elements of our day. And everything that goes on through the day should be spiritual. Not just secular. No. It's spiritual. God is involved with you, and everything that you do ought to be and should be, and it is, consecrated to him. Why do we say in church, this is the day that the Lord, what? Oh. And then he says, we shall be grumpy. Rejoice. We shall be glad, and we shall rejoice. God has given us life. But I know things shake at times. I'm guilty of it. No, I'm not guilty of it. I'm confessing my sins to you. Well, I'm confessing to you the fact that I'm very human, just like the rest of us. But this is what Paul tells us in Colossians. He just says this to you and to me. in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. I'll read it. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart. Rule. It's a rule. And he goes on to say, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Whew. Okay. Most of us have lives with an uproar inside, agitated lives. And, you know, there are times in my life that I'm so agitated, I'm just no good. Sometimes the moments come to my life and I said, Lord, why don't you just take me, huh? But the Lord has other plans for you and for me. But he says, we're called to peace and be thankful. And be thankful. This is Paul speaking to you and to me in our everyday circumstances, with adversities that you and I face today, with the issues that we can't find answers for. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And here's the thing, Paul says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So there's this whole concept of living a life in the presence of God that counts for ourselves and for those people around us and for the glory of God. There's a God who is with us all the time, 24/7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, the scripture says, pray without ceasing. See, if there wasn't, how do I say this? There has to be a dynamic way of entering into the presence of the Lord 24/7. There's got to be a way in which we have God present in our mind, in our conscience. And I think it's important for us to think about prayer as communion with God in our thoughts, being aware of his presence in whatever we're going through. I don't believe for a second that Paul tells us that we have to close our eyes 24/7, be always at prayer. That's not what it means. But it means that when we walk along with the Lord, his presence is there. And we acknowledge his presence in our life. And we talk with his thoughts. We think his thoughts. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. Paul says we have to have the renewing of our minds. It speaks to us about a constant communion with the Lord simply because he's with us and we acknowledge his presence. Look, he's with you. Whether you acknowledge him or not, he's with you. But we're called to acknowledge his presence, for he is the exceeding great reward in our lives. And by him being with you, he's your shield. He's your shield. I'm reading the life of a man by the name of Frank Laubach. He was a mystic of the last century. And he speaks about being in communion with God 24/7. And he developed this whole idea of acknowledging him. And it's a good thing for us to acknowledge the Lord 24/7 in our lives. It's a good thing for us to become aware of his presence in our life, especially in the age of destruction we're living in. We're so distracted that God often is at the periphery of our life. I mean, take your smartphone, for instance. I know some of you, if they were to pry that iPhone from your hands, you thought you have died. I got grandkids, so I know what I'm talking about. And in that little phone, we carry the entire world everywhere we go. I see this in school. I see this everywhere. But what you and I can understand is that we can approach God with small steps. Like, all of a sudden, I'm going to turn off. Are you ready for this? Don't faint. Turn off the smartphone for 10 minutes. And don't answer anything on that phone for 10 minutes. And concentrate on the Lord's presence in your life. I know. Lord, make yourself obvious in my life. Lord, I know you're here, but I need to go to you as you have come to me. I need to involve you in my life. I need to willingly say, yes, Lord. And just like Abraham, oh, Lord, I just went through a battle. And yeah, we had victory on that battle. But I'm kind of depressed because there's still things in my life that are not coming through. Where am I going to have this child? Can I use this substitute, Lord, that I've been provided through the flesh? And the Lord said, hey, I want you to look at the stars. See if you can count them. That's how your descendancy will be. That's the blessing I'm going to have. And God wants to take you in the middle of the night and show you the stars and say, I have plans for you. I am your great and exceeding reward. Don't try to resolve it by yourself. Trust in the Lord who speaks to your heart and is your shield, protects you. So you and I acknowledge the Lord in our lives as much as we can. And then we find that God is more, much more real than we could possibly imagine. When you're at work, when you're working, acknowledge the Lord and say, Lord, I have to do this, I have to do that. Lord, help me to do the best I can. And the Lord will show you how to do it. I had not preached this message years ago. This is the first time I preach it this way. But anyway, I remember when I was working for a place where they it was a meat packing warehouse. You know who works in a meat packing warehouse? Those who pack meat. Anyway, it was a rough bunch of people. You know the bad words you hear today? They coined them that time. They made them up at that time. It was rough. It was so rough. And yet, in the midst of that rough environment, I was still single. I was engaged. We were going to get married with Wilma, but I still was. I had that job, and it paid good money. It was Richard Ramirez that got me that job at that Safeway many years ago, and this is the meat work packing house. And so as I went in there, I had to work. I had to make good. I had to make money. It's a long story how I got there, but the fact is that I was there. And they put me in the worst spot because I was a newbie. You know, you start. You know, and it was rough. And I had to pack meat, and it would come on the conveyor belt. And as it would come, I would have to put it in this plastic bags and then Croy. You don't want to know. I have asked God to make me forget all of that. But anyway, all I can tell you is that I had to produce. If I was going to keep the job, I had to produce. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, you're bigger and smarter than Speedy Gonzalez. And I don't know how. Well, I do know how. The Lord. The Lord helped me. And I became the number one person in the line. Within just 30 days, I had my job secure. And they said, how does this guy do it? Because I would get in there, and I was just... I acknowledged the Lord in my life. I mean, just a small example. But you work. You have a job to do. You have a task to do. You need to get the Lord involved every single hour of the day. Lord, make me your servant. Whatever I do for your glory, Lord. Amen. Practicing the presence of the Lord. He is so real, he can even help you pack meat. Of course, meat and I are very good friends. Scripture says, it says, we are the temple of the living God. And he says, I will live with them and walk among them. Think of that. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. I'm saying to you, God is with you. And he's not there just for the looks. He's there to enable you to acknowledge his presence and make you the very best for his glory. Amen. So the story of me working at that place did not end well, but it's okay. I got fired. That's another story altogether. I was late for work. I got a ticket. That's another story altogether. So I was out of that job, and I didn't know what to do. And I remember I was still doing in Bible college. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And one of our fellow students, Brother Walter Lopak, who's gone to be with the Lord many, many years ago, he says, you know what? One thing is to work where you were, but God has another plan for your life, so embrace what you have today. And I said, God, deliver me from one to the other. Now, I'm still asking God to deliver me from this, but that's okay, you know. But God is always involved in our lives. And every situation that comes, some days you need to go outside and look at the sky if there's no smog. And look at the stars and see the blessings of God and see what he does for you and what he wants to do for you yet. Because if you're still here, and you are, God still has a plan for you. Amen. The day he's done with you, you're going to go to glory. But it's between now and then, trust me when I say to you, God has a plan and you need to look up and see the stars. So you need to see God as a partner alongside of you in this spiritual pilgrimage that we're involved in, this day-by-day life with the issues that we have to face. You know, I've seen the Lord become a very close companion to me, and I'm sure you have as well. And as we inwardly turn our attention to him, there is this comfort and there's this peace. I mean, you know, we live precariously. We don't know what happens from one day to the next, do we? We do not know. But we do know that the Lord is with you and the Lord is with me, and he will take care of our lives. I would say that you and I need to become, I got it right here. We need to become presence-driven Christians. God is present in my life, in my circumstance, in my issue, in my difficulty, in my joy. I acknowledge his presence. Do you know what keeps us many times away from enjoying God's presence is the frantic life that we have, the rush that we have in life, that we don't ever slow down. And we're agitated every day. We've got to do so many things. But if you were to just pause for a second, and understand that Jesus is so much more enjoyable and powerful than you can imagine, and that all the running around and the frantic mood that you and I have in this rat race cannot be compared to his presence in your life. And you know what is amazing is that you don't have to rush. You can rest in the Lord. Or you don't have to prove a point. He's with you. He's with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be content with what you have. Don't sweat it out. Don't be in competition with everybody in the world. Just say, thank you, Lord. All I have needed, thy hand has what? Provided. He has provided everything in our lives. So we are content and we experience peace encountering his presence in our life. When you see things through the lens of Jesus in your life, life will be much more enjoyable. When you and I spend our day being aware of his presence in our life, we begin to notice things we had not noticed before. Look, I don't want to sound kind of corny, but when God's in your life and you look around, you see nature in a different way. Amen. You do. You do. We have eucalyptus in the back of the house. We planted them many years ago. They're huge. They came and they did some pruning. And then after they did the pruning, the leaves become, they come back. And as I looked at it, the gardener comes and says to me, says, your tree is contaminated. What? What's wrong? Look, all the bugs. And I looked at that. It was horrible. I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And so I called an expert. He said, oh, no, it's not horrible. Those are butterflies in the making. I said, you know, we have a lot of those. Things in our lives that are in the making. And I didn't do anything to it. And before I knew it, we had butterflies all over the place. See, the beauty of God, how God intervenes, how God changes things around, how God already is involved in your life. How many know the Lord's involved in your life and he's working in your heart and in your life? He said clearly to his disciples, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we need to turn to him every single day of our lives and do as much as we can to acknowledge his presence in the midst of the trial. But I'm childless, Lord. You promised this is not happening. Hey, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Besides, he says, I am your reward. God's your reward. He's your shield. He's there. But I want a car. Hey, that's not what you want. That's not your reward. I want more money. That's not your reward. God's your reward. The Lord is in your life. But we need to practice God's presence in our lives. And when we talk about a practice of the presence of the Lord, it means that you do as you can and not as you can't. You need to practice every day of your life as you walk with the Lord and to acknowledge his presence. I remember years ago when Jack Hayford would say that he would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and he would pray from 5 to 6 and sometimes from 5 to 7. I only tried that once. Didn't work. Couldn't do it. And then it was so nice to hear that he said, well, my wife is trying that. He says, but you know, she sleeps until 7. I said, isn't that wonderful? How God knows our rhythms and doesn't care. So sometimes we come so legalistic, you know. No. I mean, he gets up at 5 and prays, and that's fine. She gets up at 7 and prays. There's no difference between 5 and 7. It's the heart and how God acknowledges you as a person. So when we talk about practicing the presence of God and acknowledging him, I'm not telling you or making a prescription that you must get up at 5 in the morning and talk to God. If you want to do that, you go ahead and do it, but you can do it at 10 o'clock in the morning as well. How many like that, huh? Yeah. So the idea is that you should not try to become enslaved to a routine that contradicts who you are. The Lord will give you an appetite for his presence, but you cannot look for perfection. You must begin to take small steps in your life in ways that can move you towards an acknowledgement of God in your life. And you may say, well, I do that now. I said, wonderful, then now do more. When we take the practice of God in our lives, the presence of the Lord seriously, we begin to notice things that are completely, completely new. I mean, it was not that long ago that I was making a cappuccino. And I sipped that cappuccino. Oh, Lord, this is so good. He made it for me. If you don't think so, he made the plants, he made the beans. To acknowledge the Lord in our lives like that. Every stressful moment can be redeemed by God's presence in your life when things don't go right. So when you turn your eyes upon Jesus and you look fully in his wonderful face, you will see how much he cares for you and how much he does for you. So some people practice God's presence in different ways. And I remember one day I was traveling with John Amstead, who's now with the Lord. We were in a conference, Foursquare conference in Costa Rica. And in those days, you know, it was just a conference. And so everybody was bunking in different places. I got to bunk with him. So all of a sudden we go to sleep, we go to bed. I'm sleeping. And I hear an alarm clock at 5 in the morning. It was one of those. He had set the alarm clock at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he would just turn it off real quick, get on his knees and pray. I said, gee, what's going on? And he did that every single day. I could not get into his rhythm, but maybe you can set it up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you can set the alarm clock at a certain time in the day. Maybe you should do some sort of reminders to say, Lord, I acknowledge your presence. Amen. There's a certain religion that they pray, what, 3 times a day? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Find ways in which you can acknowledge his presence. And I mean, I could not set the alarm clock. That's not how I am. But I have moments in my life where I know I can turn to him. Some people have visible reminders of God's presence in their life, and they do things like that. Now I'm going to tell you what I wrote here, because it's it's something weird, not weird, but different. And I leave it for you, and then you see if you can do that. Some people put things in their pocket, and when they get their hands in the pocket, God. Reminders. But this is the one that I thought was kind of cute. And this guy says, well, every time I put my shoes on, I pray. Well, I guess I put my shoes on every day, so. Yeah. But this is the one that really was kind of funny. Every time I brush my teeth, I think of God. You know, this are kind of curious things, but I'm saying to you, there are different alarms that need to be set in our life to remember God's presence in our life, to live conscious presence of God in our lives. Deliberate acts that will trigger, God. Not when the house is burning down, but just constant presence of the Lord. You and I need to train ourselves to be aware of his presence moment by moment of our life. Well, I guess this is all I'm going to say this morning. You look like you don't need to be reminded much more. But I do need to say to you that there will be moments in your life when God will call you and will speak to you. There will be moments in your life that you're going to complain to God because things are not answered according to how you want it. But again, God's delays are not his denials. God's working in your life. God's doing things in your heart. I acknowledge his presence. Nothing has happened to you in the last 24 hours or the last 20 years that God has not been aware of. And believe it or not, he's been there, even in the shadows. Even when you don't even suspect it, there is God. I mean, 10 years, and that's how much Abraham did not hear the voice of God. 10 years, but God speaks to him. And sometimes we find ourselves excluded from blessings, and yet we're not. Because our reward is not the things we get, but the person who is in our heart. The Lord in your life and in my life. So I will just finish by saying, do not be afraid. See, I like for you to say your name after I say your name. It says, do not be afraid, Abraham. So I'm going to say, do not be afraid, and then I want you to say your name. Do not be afraid. I think the Lord's not confused. He knows that. I am your shield. Your very great reward. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you this Sunday morning for speaking to our hearts and for helping us to become cognizant of your presence every single day of our lives. We realize, Lord, that often we live our lives as secular people, thinking that what we're doing now is not important or is not sacred. But everything we do in word or deed, Lord, everything is for your glory. So I pray that you would give us a spiritual clock, an inward clock, a way of acknowledging your presence in our daily lives, that when we get up, and when we go to sleep, that when we eat and when we rest, that when we complain or when we're grateful, that we will acknowledge your presence in our lives. Lord, that we may know this morning that you are the reward and we already have you in our hearts and we are part of you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for the strength that is needed and to rejoice. You got me covered, Lord. I'm in your grip, Lord. I'm there, Lord. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Help me to acknowledge that in my everyday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Lord, and amen. All right, let's all stand together and let's enjoy God's presence as we dismiss with this hymn.
I sing a simple song of love. Yeah. To my Savior, to my Jesus, I'm grateful for the the things you've done.
Aren't you thankful?
Oh, yes. Love and Savior, oh, precious Jesus.
Wonderful.
And there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms.
Oh, love, that's where you are.
In your arms, love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of still. Holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love.
Amen. Amen. All right. So before we dismiss, I want you to tell somebody Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And don't you forget it. He loves you and he's working with you. He does never leave you. He has never forsake you. He's speaking to you. He's guarding you. He's your shield. He's your reward. I know you messed up, but he's still your shield and he's still your reward. I know you go through conflicts, but he's still with you. He's on your side. I know what you're going through, the Lord says, but don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Get rid of fear. Don't be afraid. A strong amen again.
Amen.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Okay. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you have any questions about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.